Hey guys, this is Hunter Levine, and thank you for listening to this Captain's Collective podcast series, Behind the Bahamas, where each podcast we sit down with guides, lodge owners, and other fishing industry leaders to discuss stories, lessons, and the lore that makes these waters special. This podcast is brought to you by Skinny Water Culture, Costa Sunglasses, Florida Fishing Products, Turtle Box Audio, and Orvis Fly Fishing. To learn more about our sponsors and to see special content, head to captainscollective.com. It's not normal to move thousands of miles away from home in order to build a business and lifestyle that you love. It's certainly not normal to make your new home a remote location, absent of many of the things, the stores, and infrastructure that you've grown used to. Today's guests, Kyle and Kitri Schaefer, have decided that normal is not what they want to pursue with their lives. In today's podcast, we discuss all that goes into starting and running a fishing lodge. The Schaefers moved to the Bahamas with a newborn last year in order to chase down the dream of opening up the Soulfly Lodge. In this episode, we discuss the importance of having a passion for a place, the challenges of running an international fishing destination, the ins and outs of their business, and how they have thought through making large life decisions. I love the Schaefers and their outlook for life. It's obvious that they have a knack for building great teams and making others feel supported. We hope that you enjoy this conversation. Thank you for listening. This is the Captain's Collective, Behind the Bahamas.
I don't know if I should say they're my sons or my chickens.
There we go. Point your order at 11 o'clock. Do you see him? Say, yeah, the way I talk to you, I soothe you down. Like, so I'm flying calf. I can see the buck fever. I can see the knees, like, shaking. And I'm always in the back of there, like, control yourself, John. Control yourself. I could see the panic from here. Control yourself. Woosa. Woosa.
Felt like I was on top of the world. Doing my first fly run without having to pay for it, that's a gift I'll never forget, because that got me started in a big way.
They grew up with the engine and the car and all that. We grew up with everything else, that love for fishing. I used to run away from school just to go fishing. They don't do that these days. They run away to go in the mall. Yeah.
Right to Hurricane Dorian, Category 5 storm hitting the Bahamas, heading for the southeast. One of the strongest Atlantic hurricanes in recorded history.
There was no road to drive because there's water and debris everywhere. I jump out of the window at 1 o'clock at night in the full brunt of the hurricane. I'm like, I can't sleep and you're not knowing if my family's safe or not. God, and everybody's looking at me like a ghost. They're like, dude, where do you come from in this? I'm like, somebody gave me this house direction and I know my family's here and I wasn't stopping until I got here. And sure enough, I got there.
Hey guys, well, it's been awesome to be here at Soulfly Lodge. I'm sitting down with the Schaefers, and I've really had a great time just getting to know the guides, getting to know the staff here, which I really enjoy getting to know the staff, and really just seeing, to me, kind of what makes this place special, which I know you guys have made huge sacrifices in your life to really get this place up and running. You spent a lot of time and energy into it, and to me it's really amazing to see not just a really well-functioning lodge, but also to see a group of people who enjoy getting to be around each other, to see locals coming in and getting to enjoy having dinner here. I mean, just really just kudos to you guys for what you guys have been able to build. Kyle, I know I got in a previous podcast, actually you have officially hit the most times on the podcast outside of me. So maybe you'll be hosting it in the future.
There's an award.
Yeah. Co-host Kyle, yeah. Kyle Schaefer. But I'd love to just hear about the story of how this lodge came to be and what it looked like in y'all's family as you made decisions and moved here.
Well, I think, you know, it was definitely a lifestyle dream for us. You know, it really kind of goes back maybe 4 or 5 years where Kitri was teaching and, you know, we were trying to find a way for both of us to kind of take a little pause. And so we got this idea in our head of trying to manage a lodge in the Bahamas. And we started asking around and found our way into a position and just kind of fell in love with it. And mm-hmm. I think a big part of it was just we loved working together and kind of being around each other for a common goal, which, you know, I think is definitely sink or swim when it comes to couples working together. But we definitely love it. And it's kind of how we wanted to raise our family. Mm-hmm. So it was really a wonderful opportunity for us.
And I know we got into it in our one-on-one podcast together, but Kitri, I was curious, like, so Kyle has done guided trips. He's been involved with lodges before. What was your involvement like in the past? And then how has it changed now here at Soulfly?
Yeah. So this, this kind of dream of ours was definitely driven by Kyle's passion. But it was definitely something that I was just as excited about, which I think is really important. Because especially when there is that like passion on one side, and I love to fish, I love to be outside, but not, I don't love anything like Kyle loves fly fishing. and so to have that and to see his passion and just watch that motivation is just, that fuels me as well, which is really cool. And then to be able to use that as the catalyst for building this lifestyle, has been just a really, really special thing, I think, in our life. And I think, you know, Kyle said it best, where we want to be working together. And I think that's how we are at our best as a couple. So yeah, being able to go from kind of watching him do his fly fishing and guiding and all of that to really being able to be a part of it and be embedded in it is really, really neat.
So I want to hear how the conversation happened, because Kyle, I actually haven't asked you this, but like, you get this opportunity to chase this dream, to, you know, you've worked in lodges, you've stayed at lodges, you've traveled around, and now you get to be a part, you get to be an owner, you know, and you're going, okay, let's raise a family in a pretty remote Bahamian island. How did that all come out and come down?
Yeah, so, well, it was funny. I mean, even though we probably have been working on this project for a couple of years to from kind of thought to fruition, and it was even before that I think we'd really dreamed of, because, you know, I love guiding so much and I love it being a part of my year. And, you know, it's always been challenging with, you know, a 4 or 5 month striped bass season. It just leaves this giant hole in the winter. Like, what do we do? And so, you know, we started, it really was a very kind of natural flow more of events versus kind of one conversation. You know, I think we just, we kind of fell in love with being able to work together. And then we started envisioning, as, you know, we were, you know, as we were starting to think about a family, and Micah came into the picture, it really was like the way we wanted to raise him. So, you know, and you can kind of see from, you know, from being here at the lodge, like, he's such a part of everything.
Yeah.
And so there are the concerns of, yeah, we're out on out island in the Bahamas, and, you know, we've had to set up telehealth appointments with, you know, back in the US to stay connected on healthcare stuff. And of course that's a top priority, and, you know, getting back when we need to, but it's, I think the benefits that he's seeing down here, are, you know, kind of outweigh some of the risk of, you know, raising a family in maybe more of an unorthodox way, I guess. And it's just been a blast. He gets passed around by, you know, the guides after fishing, and, you know, I mean, he lights up when he sees the boys walk in, and Annie and Cara and Chef. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's really cool to me too, because you guys don't try to hide it. You know, there might be a temptation, I think, for people who would be in your circumstance to maybe try to pretend like, or maybe not pretend, but to separate would be the temptation. Like, separate, like, people are coming here, like, we're just gonna like just hide our life from them. And I think it's really cool, because you guys do a great job of without compromising the experience of allowing your life to be a part of this lodge. And I think that's what makes it feel homey too, in a good way. You know, you're not going to Atlantis. You know, that would be weird to have kids running around with employees and things. but it's a homey feel without like compromise. And You know, I'm kind of curious, like, so you guys move down here in August. You're drenched in sweat. You're trying to get this place ready. Tell me about getting this place ready.
So we showed up, and kind of in my head, I'm like, all right, so we're going to a building. There'll be AC. There'll be running water. You know, we should be good. We got a, you know, 14-week-old. We're still kind of trying to figure out parenting a little bit, although Micah was a Micah's a pretty special guy and pretty easygoing.
And anybody who has parenting figured out doesn't have kids.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. There's exactly. No. And then once you think you have it figured out, it all changes anyway. So, and we got here and the AC in our room was not working. It was like 90 something degrees. And it was a challenge, you know. There were some tears shed. Like, what are we doing? What have we done? And then, you know, that quickly just turned around. We got the AC working. We moved into a different room, and then just kind of looked around and we're like, this is the dream, you know. We're here. We're doing it. Definitely some late nights and early mornings and. Lots of wires needed to be put in their place and knickknacks that needed to be just cleared out. And it was a lot of work for sure. But it was, yeah, just kind of marching towards that dream. And I think that's what we want every day is that feel of, you know, some days this has challenged me personally more than I ever could have imagined. But the growth that's provided has been pretty cool when you stop to kind of think about it and take stock.
What were the biggest challenges as you reflect back on that? Like, was it, obviously you mentioned the temperature and the AC, but like if you had to kind of list out, these were the things that were just really hurdles for me. What's on that list?
I think the biggest one is time. You know, to be full-time parents and full-time business owners and manage the day-to-day, it's you know, you're racing against the clock a lot of the time to fit everything in. But I think it's about finding that rhythm and finding those moments of pause and soaking those in. And we're still working on that, for sure.
Always will, for sure.
but, yeah, I'd say, you know, time.
What about for you, Kyle? What did you feel like were the big challenges?
Well, I think like as Kitri's describing, like when we arrived here, you know, I feel pretty resilient in a lot of situations. But like something that'll get me is like seeing that look on my wife's face. I was like, oh boy, we need to secure home base first and then we can get to work. You know, you kind of just have to like make sure, you know, the ship is going in the right direction. And so, you know, I mean, I just want to make sure that Kitri and Mike are taken care of. And, you know, once we've kind of hit a groove with that, you know, I mean, I think probably in general, it's just doing everything new for the first time, you know, operating a business in the Bahamas, I've never, you know, never done that. And so just everything we're going through is new, you know, and a lot of that is really cool because it gives you a ton of growth, but it just takes time and bandwidth and, you know. And you throw the little man and the 9-month-old into the mix, and it just is like you can't work on one thing for more than a half an hour. And but we roll with it. And I, you know, a lot of times when I think whenever it feels hard, I just picture the alternatives. And it's just exactly just so quickly reminds me it's exactly what I want to be doing.
Yeah. And you and I had a conversation about how every job has its pros and cons. So like you guys could have a 3,000 square foot, you know, really nice high-end house, and you could be working 60 hours a week, missing future ball games, and have a lot of comforts, have access to medical help, whatever, fill in the blank with those pros and cons. But then at the same time, like, you know, some of the pauses that you get, like in days where you do get a pause at 11 a.m., you go, wow. It's 11 a.m. I get to look at my kid. There's people all over the world who don't get to look at their kid at 11 a.m. Now, sometimes it's 6 a.m. and you're doing, you know, there's always those trade-offs. I'm kind of curious, have you ever seen those books that are like, how to do such and such for dummies?
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know if those are still around, but like, if you were given the overview for like how to start a lodge as a dummy, what's in that overview?
Well, I think for me, it was wanting it to be, yeah, I couldn't write that book, I think, because I have a specific vision.
Yeah.
Like, I wanted to be such a unique, you know, we'd been looking, keeping our eyes open for a while, and definitely have the entrepreneurial spirit. And mm-hmm. I think most of the things I kind of carry that spirit.
Pick a location.
And that's, I mean, I think that's kind of what drives it all is, mm-hmm. is the passion around a specific place, you mm-hmm. know, otherwise it's just an idea. And so once we start kind of honing in on this chain of islands, what that meant, you know, this property, these people first and foremost, mm-hmm. On the island and the community, we're just like, that's when we started getting excited. That's the point where we literally just try to talk ourselves out of it, you know, because like the obvious, you know, beautiful parts of this are, you know, right there in front of us. So let's like try and find the cracks and the holes in it. And, mm-hmm. So that was it for me. Mm.
I think too, like, you know, it's like you find the location, you assemble a team, you do a ton of, you know, renovation and getting this place up to par for what you want the experience to be. You do all that in 90 degree weather. You do all that with a 9-month baby boy, right? And then now today, you know, people went out on boats today, had amazing days. Despite the cold front, you know, they get to experience this place. They get to be with great guys like Travis and Freddie and Percy and Dre. And they get to come back. They're talking about their day. They're getting to eat a nice meal. And then we did the recording tonight with the guides where they're all getting to talk about how they've learned from each other, the relationships they built. Just thinking about day one walking in here, all the tears that came with it. Like, how does it feel to sit here today after all of that?
And for me, it feels super good. I mean, it's so, I think like the, you know, the human element of it is what it totally drives us. And I literally was just driving Travis home after, you know, that round table and mm-hmm. that's what we talked about the whole ride. You know, he's mm-hmm. just, you know, the feeling is so mutual that it's just, that's what's really driving everybody and keeping everybody happy and healthy. It's just like, it's just a really cool team. And that's what feels, I think, the most special. And, you know, I know that's what means so much to Kittry as well. And
yeah, it feels like a family here, you know, mm-hmm. and that's, I think that's the dream that we had for wanting to raise our own family. Mm-hmm. You know, we both very much believe that it takes a village and, you know, in talking about kids before Micah came along, it was, you know, how will they fit into our life, not how will we change our life for them. And I think that we've really been able to do that here with the team that we have. And everyone, you know, our hope is that everyone feels empowered and feels a part of that family and mm-hmm. feels supported. And that's really what drives us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was the other last night. Anna was teaching me how to make different drinks, including the dark and stormy, which is very simple but has eluded me these years. And I have actually, on our on me and my wife's honeymoon, we went to a resort, and you know, I didn't have a very fancy upbringing. So my wife's much more cultured than me, and I asked my father-in-law. I said, "I'm going to a resort, man. They got an open bar. Like, what drink should I get?" He goes, "Yeah, you need to get a dark and stormy." I don't even ask what it is. I'm like, "Ah, my fault." Because I really like anything. Like, my plate's always clean here, you know?
Yeah.
And I go up and I'm at this resort and I swim up to this bar in the pool. And I go up to the guy and I go, "I'll have a dark and stormy." And there's this super suave, cool dude sitting next to me. It was like an IBM conference and some of the guys were there. And the guy goes, "What's in that?" In that moment, I got all these guys looking at me. I have no clue.
You tell me.
I don't even know what the alcohol is. Yeah. And that's when I panic. And I go, "Pina colada." And I get a frozen pina colada and I spend back in the pool. I spend the rest. My wife still to this day like makes fun of me. But so I was like, "Hey, like, I want to see how you make like a dark and stormy." It's like, it's really simple. But while she was doing that, I said, you know, where'd you work before? And she was telling me, and I was like, how do you like working here? And she really didn't have a reason to lie to me, because like she's been pretty she's a pretty straight up person, and she was like, I'm so taken care of and everybody gets along. And I think, you know, like that's to me really amazing, that like you have a crew that from the chef interacting with the guide, from the guide interacting with, you know, the team here at the lodge. Like, it's really cool to see that mutual respect for you. Like, when you think about, okay, this is what Soulfly is going to be about, the DNA of Soulfly Lodge, what's on that list?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a big part of it. I mean, we were so, so thoughtful about how we, you know, did pull together a team. And I think the result is like, you know, I mean, I think in also all of our decisions, it's really like, you know, staff and community first. And I think if you, you know, that's definitely something that like, you know, it's just kind of second nature at this point, but any question, any big question, that's really mm-hmm. like a mission that we kind of, you know, is top of mind. And if that part is taken care of, in our opinion, I mean, it's everything else takes care of itself. You know, mm-hmm. when people are happy and they're, you know, in their gig, there's room to be here for the future. And, you know, and people are just getting that enjoyment out of the day to day. And, so, you know, and that trickles down to the guests, and, mm-hmm. and I think we want people to come back here because they had those great interactions with, you know, with staff and guides and, mm-hmm. and all that good stuff. And that's what, you know, I think people really stand out in their memories, you know, might not be that 10th bonefish, but that, you know, that day with, you know, with Dre, Freddie, Percy, Travis, mm-hmm. or, I think it's the stuff that's kind of burned in people's brains.
And it's that feeling too, you know, mm-hmm. that we, and I think in our travels and in our different experiences throughout both of our lives, it's, you know, you can pick up on that energy. You can pick up on that feeling, and you can't necessarily put words around it. Mm-hmm. But that was just an important thing for Kyle and I. That's what we want to be surrounded with. Mm-hmm. And so this being such a lifestyle business and us raising a family here and, and living here and the whole thing, that's just so important to what we're doing. And to hear people pick up on that when they come to stay here and sort of say, just it felt like you welcomed us into your home. And mm-hmm. Those are just, that feels so good to us.
Hmm. I'm curious too, like Kyle, it's kind of interesting because, you know, you run a lodge, but I think when most people, if you were like running around, if you were like running around the States and you were saying, I run a fishing lodge, people probably think every day you wake up and you go fish with guides for free. And other people do that too. And you make money off of them. You know, that's kind of, but that's not the case. Right. And so I'm curious for you, how have you grown and what are the catalysts for those different types of growth that you've experienced as an angler and as a man?
Yeah, that's a good question for sure. You know, I mean, I think the biggest, probably one thing that I just continue to get confident with is just, you know, the ability to dive at any project, you know, because it has to be out of
Are
necessity.
You an optimist?
And I'm an optimist.
Yeah, I have that too. Like, I think I can do anything. Yeah, and totally. It can literally be not working, like, by every standard. And I still right. think there's... it's going to turn around, you know?
For sure. It's a good delusion to have, you know? Like, you're just
and
like,
Kyle's going to figure it out yeah. is the other thing, too.
That's the difference between Kyle and I.
But I'd say, I mean, that's something I enjoy. And I get satisfaction when... you know, as much as you hate when an engine's having trouble getting it fixed and working again or learning something new on it, you know, mm-hmm. I just love that stuff. It's funny. You know, it's all problems that you don't want to have, but when you get things back on track, it's super satisfying. Mm-hmm. You know, so, I mean, I think I'm, you know, learned a lot in that arena, and then also just trying to be, you know, just keep the head clear, carry as little around with me in my brain as possible, and mm-hmm. just, you know, try and tackle things as they come to you and just enjoy the little moments. Like you're saying, mm-hmm. not a lot of folks can always you know, take that random moment in the middle of the day and my son's around all the time, you know, which is just like, you know, those moments I'm really trying to, you know, continue to grow and trying to just recognize and be right there for those moments. You know, and I think as an angler, it's fun to just be immersed. You know, even if I'm not, you know, like you said, it's the dream world where you're fishing every day, but that's not the case. I definitely make time for it because I think it's a mental health thing for me. And so whether it's an hour walk on the beach and I don't see anything, you know, I still get the same amount out of it. But I think just being immersed in it is just so amazing. And the people that pass through, you know, I mean, spending the last 6 days with Bouchard and, you know, you just get to learn from some amazing people. The conversations you have, it just, you know, and you got to remember to take advantage of that stuff. And so it's cool.
Yeah. I'm curious too, like, you know, how have you grown as you're kind of, I mean, from watching, you know, you're kind of helping really a ton with the people, the management, behind the scenes with a lot of the billing and the admin. I'm kind of curious how you've grown as well.
A lot, you know, coming from, I was a teacher before this and so many of the things that I'm doing on a day-to-day basis here are brand new. And so I think it's something that I'm still growing in is having that confidence in it. And, and like Kyle, you know, tackling something like I know I can do this and figuring it out. I'm definitely a little more like, oh, I've never done this before. I need to call someone and ask for help. And so just having those opportunities to really to push myself in, you know, you got this, you can figure this out. This is brand new, but you're going to get it. That's been a big growth for me.
Yeah. And I'm sure like, you know, there's, I think there's just certain things you do in life where there's not a dummy how to start a Lodge for Dummies book. It's just not a big enough market. You know, that's going to sell very few copies, I think. And so in life, you know, those types of things, they can be really challenging. They can be really rewarding. And because there's not always a playbook, you can end up asking yourself a lot, like, am I doing this right? Am I doing this right? Am I doing this right? Because, you know, it's not, but it's been really cool for me just as a friend to be able to see, you know, kind of from talking to Kyle over the past couple months of it all really unraveling, just the way in which also pushing through some of that uncertainty and figuring things out, you can grow in confidence and figure out your own way of doing things, which is really neat. And it makes every place a little different, you know, opposed to like when you launch a Chick-fil-A, you know what Chick-fil-A is?
Oh yeah. Come on.
All right. Well, hey, I mean, you,
we don't know whatever that,
Hungry
that
Howie's.
Piece of, yeah. Hungry Howie's is that.
I'm going to send you some.
I'm going to like freeze it there. I'm going to call them. How much is the delivery fee? You know, but like, you know, when you launch a Chick-fil-A, there's a playbook. You do this, you do this, you do this. And some guy has a freaking checklist in front of him and he's nailing those checklists and he's going, this is exactly the Chick-fil-A way. And when you go to that Chick-fil-A, it doesn't matter what city you're in, it feels the exact same, you know? And then you don't want that for a lodge. You want it to be, to take on, to, as you guys have talked about, to be like a part of, instead of being like a chain, you want it to be a part of the place it is, to have that culture and feel. So you have to figure those things out along the way. And it's been really cool to just kind of walk around the lodge and see that. I wanted to circle back, Kyle, to something that you said. You know, you talked about just trying to carry as little in your head as possible, because obviously you guys have, if you create stress points or like, you know, in any type of tackle system, you have points of failure, you know, and you know, you have things to stress about and think about, and did we pay this? Did we do that? You know, COVID test, all these, there's a thousand things you could be worried about. And then a guest walks in the lodge and you're trying to talk to them and not think about like something over here. Right. What tips do you have for people to try to be more present?
Man, that's a great question. I feel like I really started working on that, you know, maybe in my late 20s. And it just really became apparent that, like, you know, situations are always going to change, but you're, you know, what you're carrying around in your head is what you kind of can have control of, and you know, your thought process and your mindset. And so, I mean, I think it's just practice, you know. It's easy to forget about it. It's easy to get into routines when things are so busy. It's really tricky. And you feel like if you're not always thinking that, like, what are you going to be forgetting? But, you know, I think we've tried to, you know, just really try and find and more easily recognize those moments where it's the perfect time to do so, you know, let it all go. And, you know, and I think too, is like, you get a little bit older and you see a track record of maybe things, you know, things working out, or, you know, you get, I guess that's wisdom when you know, you start getting older and you've had experiences. So you're now drawing conclusions and feeling safer in certain situations because you've feel like you kind of got it, you know, and of course still so much more to learn, but I think it's just a, you know, a daily practice and just to not be hard on yourself.
I feel like the best analogy you've come up with is like the walking. So, you know, if you're like kind of in your head and you're rushing and feel like you have so much to do and you are walking, like literally your shoulders are like beyond your toes, you know, that like power walk where you're like trying to go where you're going as fast as you can. And Kyle is like, I think we talk about this, you know, just pause, bring your shoulders back over your feet, your heels, and then keep walking. And just like find that moment to slow down, to clear your head. You're still going to get all the things you needed to get done, but it's that energy around it almost of just, we're going to do this at a sustainable pace. I just, that's a really good visual for me anyways.
I think, you know, if you say like trying to be present, a lot of people, they zone out, like that's hippie stuff. If you look, well, if you say stop stressing and being worried about so many things, oh yeah, who doesn't want to do that, you know? But I think that's definitely something that many people, what draws them to fishing is like it forces your presence. You know, you and I were talking about the slack line and you didn't hop on because you had Micah strapped on, and that's just it's a bad look if the wife walks out and is slacklining with your kids strapped on you. but you know, you're like, oh, the key to slackline is being like, you gotta like drain everything out. And I think that's the same thing with fish. Like, you know, today, like, when Travis and I were landing that fish, I jumped in the water with my phone in my pocket, which is no big deal, 'cause it's like, it's waterproof, but you know, it's like no one's thinking about a phone when they're landing a fish. You give a crap about a phone. But then in some circumstances you can't find your phone. Freaking out, you're like, oh, where's my phone. It's kind of like, that's kind of a good example of like how like being present. And you guys get the opportunities to be around a lot of people where the reason they're coming here is to have that mindset, and so it's like you need to have that mindset to match with them as best you can while still running the business. I'm curious, like, you know, so there's kind of two things I want to dive into here. One is like, how do you try to support people? As many people come here and they want to get rid of all that stress, but they also want to grow as anglers. Like, there's an educational spirit here, and like, just everybody's, you know, today we had like a little off time during our trip. It was just, we were waiting on something to transition, and Travis and I were working on casting in the flat, you know. It's like there's a spirit of education. How do you try to support people becoming better anglers when they come here? And then I'm kind of curious too, how do you guys try to support the guides? Like, what's the best way you guys together can kind of come behind them and make this a great place for them to work?
Yeah. So I think, you know, supporting anglers here, I think a lot of it is, you know, kind of starts with the team for sure. You know, the four guides that we're lucky to work with, they're all wonderful teachers. And then, you know, so, and then there's also, you know, kind of room for everybody to continue, you know. So Dre is 20 years old, the youngest guy in the Bahamas. He's over here casting in the backyard all the time, and which is really cool. So he's, you know, kind of honing his skill. And, you know, and I think it's just great to just get kind of a total vibe for where people are in their, you know, kind of in their course with fly fishing. And And, you know, I want things to be continue to kind of pull people in here. So we're going to build this little 8x10 casting platform out in the yard, because right now it's mm-hmm. just a yard. You know, there's nothing saying out there, pull, you know, come cast in this yard. So, yeah. You know, we're going to set up some distance markers, maybe do a little course where you get to practice certain skills and just kind of make it fun. So I'm a fishing guide and so. You know, I'm always offering to be there mm-hmm. and be available, but I want it to just be like right in your face where people have the opportunity to grow, and it just kind of mm-hmm. draws them in. And I think it's wonderful having the guides here, you know, after a fishing day or, you know, before the first day of fishing and getting the chance to chat. And, you know, and I think your second part of the question is, how do you support the, you know, the guide team? You know, I think for us, we're working so hard to keep the schedule full, for one, so everybody mm-hmm. can be out there fishing, learning, exploring. Because, you know, we do have three guides that came in from other islands. You know, they're mm-hmm. proficient in this island, but there's going to be, you know, continued learning that's going to happen for years. And mm-hmm. just as Percy's still, you know, seeing new things and new fish in mm-hmm. different places, you know, after 55 years. But, you know, I think we just stay really... really close connection, you know, just communicate, you know, what do you need? Do you feel like you have enough spots at, you know, at a draining tide, at a low tide, at a high tide? Like, do we need to block off days for exploration? You know, we had a group that, you know, didn't materialize last week because of some COVID stuff going on. And, mm-hmm. you know, but, we still paid the guides and we sent them out on exploration days. So, mm-hmm. you know, just said, don't be in any water you fished before, you know, even if you think it's the wrong tide, but let's just spend time in new places. And I was lucky to get out for one of those days. We found this giant school of bonefish on the south side of this island that we haven't seen before. And we looked down and there was the biggest bonefish I've seen yet since I've been down here. So it was mm-hmm. cool. We saw that. We worked into some creeks we haven't fished before, and then just kind of, you know, encouraging them to keep an open mind, you know, that the learning is never done, and everybody's got that attitude. And we've had some really cool people come through that, you know, I'll tell a quick little story. We had Craig Cantelmo came through, who started Van Stahl. He's just a really great, well-rounded angler. And mm-hmm. so he loves to do some, you know, some bait and switch stuff. And that totally, a light bulb went off with Dre. Mm-hmm. And Dre fell in love with that stuff. And there's some really cool fish to catch here, you know, adjacent to the flats. And, you know, throwing a hookless plug for a 20-pound mutton snapper and sneaking a fly in there is a pretty cool program. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not going to be for the flats purist, but it's a great way to rest the bonefish. It's a great way yeah. to, you know, show a total different facet to the, mm-hmm. you know, to the fishing here.
Definitely. And I'm curious, too, just from the supporting the staff side and trying to help them just beyond just becoming better anglers, like, how do you try to help the guests and staff? How do you try to help this be a place that is somewhere that people never want to leave, staff and guest?
I think it's a lot about listening to people and what they need, mm-hmm. And what their passions are, what their dreams are, you know, where do they see themselves, whether it's here or beyond here, mm-hmm. and how can we, as, you know, management here, empower them and support them mm-hmm. on those trajectories or those paths, their dreams, their personal dreams that they have. You know, we have mm-hmm. Ramona, who works in the kitchen, who is exploring with some sushi and really has dreams of having her own little food truck and mm-hmm. starting her own business around that. And so we've had multiple conversations and she's hosted a pop-up here. And mm-hmm. it's, you know, one of Kyle and I's favorite nights that we've been here. And so I think a big part of that is listening and then figuring out ways that we can support those personal mm-hmm. passions and dreams.
I'm curious, like, a lot of people, I interviewed a guy and he's become a great friend of mine, John Dunaway, who said, you know, there's always these people and they always go, oh, must be nice, you know, must be nice to be able just to up your life and start a lodge. And they kind of make these excuses for, oh, Kyle's probably a trust fund baby, or, oh, well, they probably just got lucky. And those are just things that people tell themselves for why they're not going down a similar path or whatever it is for their life. And I know you guys want to inspire other people to be able to take leaps and jumps, and whether it's your own staff here with Sushi, or whether it's, you know, other people who say, wow, I'd love to start a lodge, or I'd love to become a guide, or I'd love to, you know, fill in the blank. What advice would you give people based off what you guys have experienced on what it looks like to chase a dream?
Well, I think, you know, I think a big part of it is find what is your, like, what is that thing that just is calling you, that mm-hmm. is pulling you towards it. And I think that's the thing you're going to be the most successful in. And, you know, I really love kind of the mix of the fly fishing world and you know, entrepreneurial pursuits. And I think it really just so aligns with what I feel, you know, my purpose is, I guess. And, you know, and really what kind of fulfills that purpose too is so much of what we talked about with community and people and, you know, just trying to all rise together. So, you know, I mean, I think that's a big thing, is just kind of listening to what is it that, you know, that moves you, that drives you. And, you know, for me, it was just staying really focused. Cause I've had a lot of, I mean, I've gone down lots of roads that I've had to turn straight around on, you know, in my career. And I've done a lot of different things and times where I wasn't happy and I knew I wasn't doing what I was supposed to do, but I had to just keep looking and, you know, making drastic moves, you know, that were super disruptive in my life, but like just trying to have like a little faith that there's something good on the other side. And I'm definitely, you know, I'm the sweat equity guy. I'm not the guy that, you know, I'm the guy that has to, you know, really has to earn it. And, and I think with Kitri and I in this place, it's, you know, it's working because we've dedicated so much time, you know, of our life and, you know, my whole career to this kind of stuff that it, you know, we kind of finally had enough experience under the belt where we were able to kind of take the leap.
And that's what I was going to say too, is I think, yes, there are moments where it is that drastic change, but I think a lot of it too is just maybe that, you know, that slight shift or that slight, you know, change of thinking. And, you know, there are certainly, I guess you could call them sacrifices, but it doesn't necessarily feel like that, you know, I guess more choices that we've made that maybe don't, they don't feel like huge choices or huge decisions or huge drastic changes to our life, but that just kind of have continued to point us in a direction, whether we knew what that direction was or not. It's like, you know, realizing we wanted to work together and live, you know, build that lifestyle. So how are we going to do that? You know, we have lived in a 16 foot camper a couple of summers with only cold water, you know, and
that came up when I interviewed Kyle.
You're the other side of the story here.
Yeah, I cannot wake up in the morning and take a freezing cold shower. That is not.
I actually think that's in the health world. So you guys are ahead of the curve.
Kyle's still not my thing.
Y'all are
cold water's not my thing.
Less likely to have cancer and be happier people.
Yeah, exactly.
According to popular health rituals.
But you know, there are moments when you're sitting there doing dishes after dinner and there's no hot water and you're like, man, what are we doing? But I think so it's that balance of, yes, there are those moments of drastic change or drastic realization, but then so much of it is also just those little day-to-day decisions that you're making that are driving you towards the lifestyle, towards how you want to live each day.
And I think it's kind of cool, you know, to be able to be a part of a lodge that's focused around fishing and to be able to have a connection. You know, some people work in industries they have no in jobs they have no connection to, but you guys love the water, you know. And so it's not like you make a product you don't care to have, or that you give tours at a place that you don't care about. You know, it's like you guys get your job is to help people get a chance to experience a place that you love and you've got to experience. Kyle, I'm interested for you. What's your favorite day on the water you've had here so far and why?
It's a a good question. Gonna have to sift through a couple of days here. You know, I think maybe it was my first day on the water here. I think it would have to be the first day. It was actually my second trip down here. We were kind of, you know, trying to get down here and spend as much time as we could through this COVID period, you know, and really tricky to get here. So this was the second trip. We were going to decide, are we going to do this or not? And so we fished with Percy, and we chased some bonefish in the morning. I remember it. We walked. We waited. It was beautiful. But I don't remember all the details of that. But we decided to switch gears and permit fish for the afternoon. And, you know, we just started seeing fish. And I caught my first Barry Island permit that day. And, you know, it was like, all right, I think I can take a sign. You know, we're here to decide if we're going to do this thing or not. And that was super memorable, I think, because that fish just meant, you know, it really helped me decide the direction to go in. And on top of that, you know, we've got another partner, Alec Griswold, who's, you know, super involved and, you know, on the lodge, and day two, we go out and he gets a permit that was probably 10 pounds bigger than mine. And we were like, you know, we called Kittry that night after celebrating a little bit, and Kittry's like, we're buying a fishing lodge, aren't we? So, I mean, I think that's got to be the most, you know, that packs into 2 days, but that's got to be it. I mean, had so many wonderful days since, and that was a formative couple of days for sure.
Yeah, with this whole podcast series, Percy has kind of been in many ways, the, I don't know if you want to say the center, because we've tried to kind of make this place, the fishery, the center, but has been the middle of all the spokes, you know, everybody keeps tying it back from you to Travis to Freddie. You know, people are drawn to Percy because he's very well respected, and, you know, Travis is, you know, wants to learn everything he can from Percy. Freddie has the world of respect for Percy, came over here, you know, and, I'm curious, like, you know, so you guys are thinking about opening a lodge here and you're fishing on the water with a guide. Most guides don't want more people on the water unless they're just with them. I'm curious, like, how does all this unravel with Percy?
Yeah, it was a little, you know, it was definitely such a crossroads. Like, if we approached Percy with this and he wasn't interested, we wouldn't have done it. You know, I think just from our mentality, like, the one thing we worried about was starting a fishing lodge and, you know, in a community that, you know, we really, you know, we haven't lived in. We're not a part of it, you know, and you're just coming in and basically, you know, starting this lodge, and it just affects a lot of people on this small island. So, you know, we were so, like, there was a lot of tension around it. We're like, what is Percy going to think, you know? Mm-hmm. And we've spent a few days fishing with him, building a little relationship with him. And then, you know, and we're all hitting it off. And, you know, so we had on that, you know, on a trip after that great permit with him, we had that conversation with him, and it really was like, you know, if he wasn't for it, it was, you know, let's kind of back off this thing. Mm-hmm. And he was like, you know, I probably rambled for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, really, you know, wanting him to know that we, you know, we want to do this and we all want to succeed together and, you know, make this something that makes sense for you financially from a lifestyle standpoint, you know, really think it through. And after, you know, my ramble, he's just like, why didn't you guys come here 10 years ago? You know? And so it was cool. You know, I mean, we just kind of took like little steps and just the relationship has grown from there. And I just, you know, I really look up to Percy and just have an enormous amount of respect for him. And there's nobody else on the planet like him. He's just a really, really special dude. And he loves Micah so much, which is really cool. Feels like, you know, I mean, I keep saying it, but it just feels like a part of the family. And, you know, he spends a ton of time over here. And so it's pretty cool. And, you know, Kittry's grown a wonderful relationship with him as well.
For sure.
My last question is, you know, so you kind of referenced, you know, you're living in the 16-foot trailer, you're washing dishes, it's cold water, you go, what are we doing?
you're here in August and it's freaking feels like it's 110 degrees and you're rushing to try to get things ready and you're trying to figure out every type of thing, you know, that you feel like you need to do business wise. You're thinking, what are we doing? You know, kind of big picture, if you have to answer that question right now with Soulfly Lodge, what are we doing?
Kyle's the visionary, so I'm going to let him take that one.
Well, I guess, you know, I mean, I think there's a lot of stuff that's just assumed with a fishing lodge. Like, we're going to do a good job on what we say we're going to do. We're going to feed great meals. You know, the fishing's going to be great. You know, we can't control the weather. I think there's all these things that you just kind of assume. And I think the fun part for us that, you know, we get really fired up on is like, how can we try and make this business into something unique, something that, you know, something that, you know, we're focusing on sustainability and have some high goals with that. And, you know, and I think with just these past few months, which felt a little earlier than I expected it to come, that we just really started feeling like we had bandwidth to really kind of, you know, kind of dive into some projects and see where we can go and see how we can continue to be, you know, improve. And of course, a lot of our decision-making, we're thinking about that stuff. And, so I, you know, I think that's where we'll have the most ability to grow is really in that realm. And, you know, whether it's, you know, continuing to source more foods locally or whether it's, you know, finding grants for projects on the island, which we're in the process of doing a couple really meaningful little projects where a small grant is going to go an enormous amount away for the island and for, you know, individuals. And so I think that's kind of some of the stuff that's just going to be ongoing. And I think it's going to drives our mission. And I think it's going to attract people that when they come here, it's the right fit for them. And I think those are the things that we really want to be forward about with what, cause there's a million places to go fish, you know, maybe come here for some of those other things that we focus on that, you know, that mean a lot to us and mean a lot to the guests that it resonates with.
Well, man, outside of you, beating me repeatedly in foosball, you know, I got the chance to get my biggest bonefish on the fly, which I haven't caught many, but I have something to try to chase after now. Top wise, I think that was eight or nine pounds is what Travis thinks. Even more valuable was I got time with these guys and got to see how they move, see how they cast, you know, got to work on my casting, got to work on just the whole approach to waiting, which was really fun to me. I just got to learn a lot. I'm really grateful for you guys allowing us to come down here, record this content. You know, got a camera guy in the kitchen catching shots, you know, you got people taking over different wings. And I know that, you know, there's a stress on you guys. I'm grateful that you guys allow us to come here and be a part of this. And I'm just excited to keep watching what's next with you guys and see where this goes.
Thanks, Hunter. Well, it's a pleasure to have you here, man. It's a blast.
Yeah. And we still have time for a few more games of foosball.
yeah.
Micah was working on his foosball skills today.
Oh, good for him. Yeah. He's probably going to be better than me in a year or two. So, but thank you guys so much. And I'm looking forward to coming back.
Thanks, Hunter.
Thanks, man.
Thanks again for listening to the Captain's Collective. Please help us out by leaving a review on iTunes and sharing this podcast. We hope that you enjoy. This is the Captain's Collective.
Spend your Saturdays with life on the water. Join Captain Brandon Simmons for fishing, diving, travel, and so much more.
You want to succeed. You want to fish. You want to be one of the greatest.
Oh, look at that thing, dude. Wow.
Oh. Let's see what kind of trouble we can get into today.
Don't miss Life on the Water every Saturday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV. The destination for outdoor entertainment. Brave anglers search for the one they call king, but who will take his throne? Tune in to Waypoint TV's Battle for Silver, Saturday, May 18th from 12 to 6 p.m. Eastern. Presented by Abyss Battery, Waypoint TV.